The Secure Facilities Act has been in the works for a couple of years. The union's been extensively involved, as along with a number of other stakeholders, the agency, NASCO, the Private Guard Association. It's a reform of FPS based on many of the GAO findings over the past several years. Reforms, what I think is particularly important, reforms the facility security committees and the interagency security committee. Also has some benefits for the union, as in retirement benefits for our FPS law enforcement officers that we've not had and is pretty much a mainstay of other federal law enforcement positions.
Okay, so it includes carrots and other incentives to attract good people and retain good people within the service. Does it also include some financial backing? I mean, a lot of times there are reforms without the money to go along with it. Does it work out that way here?
What it does do, and one of the parts I'm kind of disappointed with, but I understand, is it continues the fee-for-service system, provides authorizations to raise security fees as necessary to institute the reforms.
It also allows for FPS to hire more employees and train them, too. Was this something that was sorely lacking in the service, the FPS?
Absolutely. I think everyone knows, I've said it as many times as I could, that, you know, when we came in, when we left GSA in 2003 and entered into the Department of Homeland Security under ICE, we were over 1,500 personnel, closer to 1,600. Those numbers dwindled through the years for a variety of reasons, mainly the fee funding system, and I think the agencies and particularly ICE's misunderstanding of the fee funding system. We attrited away 300 jobs or 300 FTE within about 3 years. In November of 2006, November of 2007, the ICE agency then formalized the intent to cut FTE, full-time equivalent positions, and we attrited down to about 1,100. So just going back to the days when we came into the department, we attrited away over 400 full-time positions in FPS, and I think that is really reflected in the FPS performance.
We're talking with David Wright. He is the president of AFGE Local 918. They represent FPS employees nationwide, and we're talking about this action that would reform the Federal Protective Service. And Mr. Wright, I wanted to continue our conversation finding out where this legislation stands now, and what sort of timeline are you looking at to get this passed through?
It's a tough one. Of course, it just passed, was marked up from the committee to the Senate. As we all know, the Congress departed on Wednesday. We're looking at a lame duck session of, I think, 3 to 4 weeks after the midterm elections. I have assurances from the Senate staffers, the Senate committee staffers, that they will be pursuing this bill, pursuing passage from every angle. From there, I have to concern myself with the House version of the bill, which is not marked up yet. And although I've gotten word from the Homeland Security Committee staffers on the House side that hopefully they'll be pursuing markup in that lame duck session.
Do you have a plan B in your back pocket in case it doesn't make it through in time?
I think the plan B is we continue, in January, if we go into the 112th Congress, my intent would be to pursue both the Senate and Homeland Security committees to introduce the bill as soon as possible in the next session to assure eventual passage. You know, we've had a number of legislative acts over the years that have been introduced at the end of sessions and never, they've always been delayed. So the real difference in this bill, from what I see, and the bill on the House side, is there's been an awful lot of work done by the staffers and by Senator Lieberman, Senator Collins, Senator Akaka, Senator Voinovich, Representative Benny Thompson, Eleanor Holmes Norton. There's been an awful lot of work on these bills.